Let's talk some college basketball. We are joined right now by a forward for South Dakota State, a two-time Summit League Player of the Year, a Wooden Award finalist, 28 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, and a couple of blocks in Sunday's win over Denver. He's averaging 25 points and 11 rebounds this season. He passed Larry Bird on the all-time NCAA scoring list. South Dakota State, 19-6. They're 9-1 in conference play, and they are hosting North Dakota on Saturday. Mike Dom is my guest. Mike, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on, Mr. Rome.
Really good to have you. Mike, nice to visit with you. Listen, before we get into the records that you're setting right now, you got to take us back a little bit. You're from a small town in Nebraska. For those who do not know, Mike, what is the name of that town, and what was it like growing up there?
Yeah, it's a small town on the western side of the state called Kimball, Nebraska. It's about 2 hours north of Denver, Colorado. I'm all the way over in that panhandle, and it's kind of a small farming town. Growing up there was definitely an experience that I was very grateful to, you know, be a part of. My parents very hardworking and making lots of sacrifices for me to be in the position I am today.
And, Mike, you're growing up in a town of less than 3,000 people. That's how small that was in rural western Nebraska. Pretty safe to say that you're not going to be on the radar of a lot of college basketball programs. So when did you first get into basketball, and how much of that love of the game comes from your mom, Michelle?
Yeah, I was able to get into the game of basketball at a super young age. I mean, it seems like ever since I was born, my mom had a basketball in my hand, and I'm just very grateful for that just because I did. I fell in love with it right away, and I kind of fell in love with the grind of, you know, early mornings going to the gym and late at night staying at the gym. And my mom was a huge reason for that. You know, she was a basketball stud herself going through college and then into the professional world a little bit. And, you know, she's the one who pushed me every day. And then with my dad, too, you know, seeing how hard he worked and how hard he was able to sacrifice for me to get to where I am today, I'm just very grateful for both of them.
Mike Dom joining us. You mentioned your mom was a stud, and that's true. She's a University of Wyoming basketball legend. The two of you used to work in your high school gym at night running drills, and you fell in love with the grind, and a lot of that grind came from her. What were those sessions with your mom like?
They were intense. You know, when I was younger, it's crazy. I kind of go back, and we laugh sometimes at, you know, she used to film my fourth and fifth grade basketball games, and we'd go home and watch film, and she would criticize me on things I needed to do better. And then, you know, late at nights as I got older, you know, we'd get into the gym more and more, it seemed like, and there'd be some intense nights where there'd be a little bit of yelling, and we'd kind of go back and forth at each other. But at the end of the day, you know, it was just the grind of basketball, falling in love with doing what I did, and she was the one who ultimately pushed me to, you know, kind of get to where I am.
You know, not to belabor that point, but that's your side of it. She also said, she told ESPN this, quote, "Sometimes we would really clash, and I'm like, fine, you want to be a bleep, back out. That's fine. We don't have to do this, but if you want to get to where I was, you got to work at it. It's nonstop. I don't care about the blisters. I don't care. He never quit on me. I was really hard on him. I really was." Quote, "I'm the badass mom. I am." I mean, did the two of you really go at it like that? And then how much of your toughness on the court comes from your badass mom?
Yeah. I mean, we really did go at it. I could tell you about the countless times that we'd be in the gym, and I mean, it just seems like we were throwing cuss words left and right at each other just because she knew my potential. She knew how bad I wanted it. I knew how bad I wanted it, and I think that, you know, that's just the type of parent she was. You know, she was hard on me, but she knew I could take it. She knew what it took to get to the next level and what it took to, you know, play at the next level, and I wanted to feed off that, and, you know, I loved it. You know, now that I look back on it, I loved it, and I wouldn't have traded any of that in for, you know, anything. And then the toughness comes, you know, a lot of it does come from my mom. She was the badass, and, you know, I'm just very grateful that, you know, she pushed me as hard as she did when I was young.
Mike Dom joining us. You know, you mentioned that she saw the potential. There's another one of those moments where you hit 40 or 50 threes in a row, and she got really emotional, and she grabbed you and said, "You have no idea the potential you have." Coming from her, coming from an All-American and a member of the Wyoming Athletics Hall of Fame, what do you remember about that moment, and did that resonate with you?
It definitely did. You know, that moment was special for me, too, because, you know, as I come up through high school, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. You know, I loved basketball at such a young age, and it was my favorite sport, and I loved watching it. I loved being a part of it. But as I come up and get older, you know, my freshman year of high school, I wasn't playing much varsity. I really didn't know where I wanted to go in that direction. And then, you know, I had nights like those where I would do things like that. And like you said, that one specific night when I hit, you know, however many threes in a row, she pulled me aside and she said, you know, you have no idea how good you want to be. If you really want this, you know, you have to work at it. You have to commit to it. And I think that was definitely one of the defining moments when I was younger of like, okay, you know, this is what I want to do, and it's going to take a lot of hard work to get there, but I'm ready to do it.
All right, so Mike, you knew what you wanted to do, and you knew the price you were willing to pay. But at that time, how much interest were you receiving from D1 basketball programs?
Honestly, not much interest at all. You know, I was very grateful to fall into a great program of AAU out of Fort Collins, Colorado, with the Rocky Mountain Fever. And, you know, for me, like I said, my freshman year of basketball, I wasn't playing much varsity, but I was, you know, very fortunate to get picked up by this AAU team and was able to kind of start getting my name out there to those smaller D1s. And then, you know, as we went along, it picked up a little bit more and more, it seemed like, each year. And you know, I'm just very grateful to be in the position I am here at South Dakota State.
All right, so that AAU team was pretty key. How long a drive was that, and then what was that team like?
It was about an hour and a half drive, hour and 45-minute drive every 2 weeks, or every, two times a week, and then on top of that, I would actually drive back down three more times a week just to work out with my AAU coach individually. And, I mean, the team was a blessing for me. I was very fortunate to get in with a group of guys who were, you know, we all had the same mindset. We just wanted to help each other succeed. We wanted to have fun with each other. And that's what it made so great for me. And my AAU coach, Brandon Valdez, was a great mentor for me during that entire time. And I think he saw the same potential in me as my mom did. And that kind of helped boost me over the top with how hard I wanted to work to reach the next level.
We're talking to Mike Dom. So you had a legendary performance at a tournament in Las Vegas before your senior year, and people start to take note, and then South Dakota offers you a scholarship. What was that moment like, and then what was it like when you got to campus?
It was amazing. I remember sitting on the tractor. I was with my cousin. We were plowing fields, and I remember getting a call from Coach Nagy at the time, and they offered me a scholarship. And then that next week, I was able to take a trip up here to Brookings to get a feel for the campus. And the moment I got up here, I fell in love with it. The Brookings community has been so welcoming ever since I got here. The teammates I had my freshman year when I first came in were super welcoming, super down to earth, just a great group of guys. And then the coaching staff, I can't talk enough on how great those guys were to me when I first got here. So I just knew it was the place to be.
Yeah, but still, Mike, it was not easy. Like T.J. Otzelberger said that when he arrived as head coach, he was told that there were questions about whether you'd be able to play at South Dakota State. He told CBS Sports, quote, they weren't wondering when he'd ever play here. They were wondering if he would ever play here. They didn't know if he was ever going to be good enough to play at this level. So what do you remember about that redshirt year? Is that how it felt to you?
It definitely did not feel that way to me at all. You know, for me, I did. I came in with two other freshmen, and both of those guys were able to play right away. And I kind of got a feel, you know, that first week of summer workouts, you know, it was kind of eye-opening for me going against the bigger guy. Cody Larson was there, a senior my freshman year, and I remember going against him. And I knew I wasn't ready for the college game yet either. So me kind of taking that redshirt year, I really didn't think anything of it. The only thing I wanted to do was do anything I could to help this team succeed. And I kind of took that mindset into my redshirt year. I was the only one who redshirted that year, and I spent, you know, a ton of time with my strength and conditioning coach, Eric Adolph, and he was kind of the one who helped me get through that year just because, you know, I wasn't playing. I was just practicing 24/7, extra shooting, and then it was just heavy, heavy lifting. And I just remember, you know, really keeping my head down, you know, not worrying about what was going on, and just kind of kept my focus and just kept working.
Now, Mike, your coach has said that at some point something clicked. They're not exactly sure when that was. Do you know when it was that you realized that you were not going to be a role player or even a starting player, but that you could be something special?
I would say it was actually the year I redshirted. Near the end of the year, we were in the NIT, and we got to play against Colorado State. So I was on the scout team at the time, and I got to emulate one of the players, and it was JJ Avila. And I remember I kind of just, you know, Colorado State at the time, he had the freedom to do whatever, and I remember just playing scout team. And I was kind of just dropping buckets left and right. And I think that was kind of a moment for me where I said, you know, I can help this team a lot. for me at the time, I really wasn't looking at anything personal. I wasn't looking at, you know, what I could do, you know, personally. I was just thinking, you know, I can help this team, you know, win and succeed this upcoming year. And then that kind of helped lead into, you know, my redshirt freshman season for South Dakota State.
You know, Mike, you could help this team a lot, or you could pass Larry Bird on the all-time NCAA scoring list. I mean, Larry Bird, what's it like for you to see your name above his on the all-time scoring list? Does that even feel real at this point?
It really doesn't. You know, it's a blessing to even be mentioned in the same sentence as Larry Bird. You know, he's one of the greats, and it's truly an honor, you know, just to be a part of that list, be a part of something special. But, I mean, there's so much more behind that than just having your name on the list. I mean, it was the countless hours in the gym before. It's been the entire, you know, organization of South Dakota State. It's been all the great teammates I've had, all the coaches I've had who have been able to help me reach this position.
You know, finally, Mike, after last season, there was talk that you might enter the NBA draft or you could transfer to a bigger program. Nobody would have faulted you for doing either one of these things, but you decided to go back to South Dakota State. What was the decision-making process like, and what led you to return to Brookings, South Dakota?
Yeah, my mindset and kind of, you know, choosing a decision there during that time was kind of simple. You know, I wanted to put my name in the draft ultimately to see if I would get that NBA Combine invite. And kind of once I knew I wasn't invited to the Combine, it was an easy decision for me to choose to come back to South Dakota State. You know, I commend my head coach, Coach Otzelberger, so much just because when he was first hired here, you know, he was worried about building relationships with us players. Who was, you know, a group of guys who were kind of unsure of what was going on. I knew some of us were thinking about transferring when our old coach Nagy left. We didn't really know what was going on. We weren't sure of the situation that was going to happen for us in the future. And when Coach Otzelberger came in, you know, he kind of just took us up to a whole nother level, built relationships with us that I know will last way past college and way past basketball. So for me, I had a solid core group of guys that are here with me now. You know, my teammates are super important to me, and I want to see those guys succeed. I want to give those guys, you know, the best years of college that I can while I'm here. And then, you know, the coaching staff has been phenomenal. And I just knew this was still the place to be for me. This was the right fit. And, you know, for me, it's super important that, you know, when I go somewhere and I start something, I want to finish it there. And, you know, just giving this Brookings community my all is something that was super important to me.
A South Dakota State forward, a two-time Summit League Player of the Year, a Wooden Award finalist, just passed Larry Bird on the all-time scoring list for the NCAAs. And, my man, you couldn't be any more polished off the floor than you are on. Mike, really nice to have you on the show. That's a great conversation. Really well done, Mike.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Appreciate you very much, Mike. Well done. Could not be more impressed with him. What a great backstory. And he's earned everything he has. That is an extremely polished guy. And again, both on and off the floor. He's closing in on 3,000 points. Only 8 guys have scored 3,000 points in NCAA history. Guys that he will likely pass this year. Elvin Hayes, Danny Manning, Oscar Robertson, and already on top of Larry Bird. Hey, Hawk, have you heard of any of those guys?